chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31. And I'll be looking specifically for our text verses this evening at Exodus 31 verses 1 through 11. But we will go through many pages of Scripture here in the book of Exodus, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Near the end of the message, we will go over to the New Testament, make some application for us as New Testament believers today. If I were to title the message this evening, I would simply entitle it this: Engaged in the Work. Engaged in the Work. We understand that prior to Exodus chapter number 31, in fact, we will not take time, but if you went back to the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus and read through the 30th chapter of the book of Exodus, that you will have the opportunity to read about the detailed instruction that God gave to Moses with regard to the construction of the tabernacle. The detail that is contained in those chapters of Scripture is phenomenal. Every little detail, every minute detail is planned out and given specifically to Moses with regard to not only the size of the pieces of furniture, but the very substance that was to be used for each of those pieces of furniture. I mean, just great detail is provided in these chapters of Scripture. And we find that the detail that is provided reminds us that our God is a God of order, that our God is a God of details. And what a blessing to see, as you study those chapters of Scripture, the detail that God provides. It's very specific instruction. And then we come to this passage that we'll use as our text passage this evening. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we discover that not only did God give instruction to Moses with regard to the construction of the tabernacle, but we find that God provided the workers and He equipped the workers for this great work. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Exodus 31, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place. Notice this: according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do." I believe that when Moses received this word from the Lord, that Moses was greatly encouraged. No doubt, as he received the instruction in these previous chapters with regard to all of the detail, the materials that were to be used for each piece of furniture, the specific dimensions and all of the detail, no doubt it could be overwhelming for an individual to receive all of that information. How am I going to be able to do all of this work? And we find that God now comes to Moses in here in Exodus 31, and he says, I have provided the workers as well. I have equipped them, and I've provided them. And it says here, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Again, I've used as the title for our message this evening, Engaged in the Work. I want you to notice, first of all, from this passage of Scripture, that these individuals were equipped for the work. They were equipped for the work. I want you to understand that there are two individuals that are named by name. The Bible says in verse number 2, "See, I have called by name Bezalel." We find that it also tells us in verse number 6, "And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab." And so these two individuals in verse 2 and verse number 6, Bezalel and Aholiab, they are mentioned by name. And these men, the Bible tells us, would be equipped for the work that God had given Moses to complete. We find that he calls these individuals, it continues at the end of verse number 6, the latter phrase, it says, "And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." So we find that God had equipped the people for the work, and we find that the purpose of this equipping was to do the work. It's very clear as we read the passage of Scripture in verse number 3 that God says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship." In these verses of Scripture, we find the purpose of this equipping was to do the work of God. They were not Bezalel and Aholiab and these wise-hearted men that are referenced in this passage of Scripture. They were not equipped by God to do this work in any other arena. They were equipped by God specifically for this work. And the Bible tells us that it was God that gave them the ability, that it was God that equipped them. We notice in verse number 3, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." It says in verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." So we know that God, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, he is the one that has equipped these individuals. We find that the purpose is stated at the end of verse number 6, "that they may make all that I have commanded thee." It's again stated at the end of verse number 11, "According to all that I have commanded thee shall they do." Now we understand that the instruction had been given in these previous chapters, as I mentioned by way of introduction, and then we enter into this chapter in which we're studying this evening, and the people are called and equipped for the work. Unfortunately, the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus records for us the breaking of the law, the sin of the people with the golden calf and Aaron and all of that, and many of us are familiar with that event and that passage of Scripture. We will not focus any of our time upon that this evening. The people then repent. The covenant is renewed. And we find that the construction would begin. And so it's important that we understand a few things as we kind of make our way here through these latter chapters of the book of Exodus. And we're going somewhere. We're going to make application for us this evening as New Testament believers. But we find that they were equipped for the work, but then I notice as I continue to read through the pages of Scripture that they were engaged in the work. It's important to understand that they were equipped, but how we should rejoice as we read the pages of Scripture when the Bible tells us that they were engaged in the work. God equipped them. And they, as Paul would say, he wanted to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And the reality is that these individuals and the two that are mentioned by name, Bezalel and Aholiab, they are equipped, but then they are engaged in the work. And what joy that is as I study the Scriptures. Notice with me in verse number 30 of chapter number 35, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Notice the first word of chapter 36, then. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all the Lord had commanded. We know that the offering is brought and the offering was sufficient for the work. In fact, the people were restrained from bringing because they had more than sufficient. You read that in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 36. But I want you to understand that God had instructed Moses, and he instructed Moses with regard to the construction of the tabernacle and all of the pieces of furniture. And then God says, I've equipped these individuals. Moses then tells the congregation in the passage that we just read at the end of chapter 35 that it was God that had equipped these men, these individuals, for the work that has been instructed to them to do. And then we find that they wrought in the work. And what a blessing. I want to go through these next few chapters in Exodus. And I want you to read with me and follow along. And I want you to see how that you will find the phrase, and he made, or they made, or made. And you'll find that they are engaged in the work. God had equipped them for this work, and now they are engaged in the work. I understand that this work had to be a challenging work. No doubt it was a lengthy work. It was a detailed work. But they had been equipped for such a purpose and for such a reason. And we find that in verse number 8 of chapter 36, the Bible says, "And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle, notice, made 10 curtains of fine twined linen." In verse number 11, "And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage and the coupling." In verse number 13, "And he made 50 tashes of gold." In verse number 14, "And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle." Skip down to verse number 20. The Bible says, "And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up." In verse number 31, "And he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle." And so we see that the work is progressing, and they are doing the work. They are engaged in the work. In verse number 35, "And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen with cherubims made he it of cunning work." Verse number 1 of chapter 37, "And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood." Notice in verse number 3, "And he cast for it 4 rings of gold." Verse 4 of chapter 37, "And he made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and of 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat." As we skip through and we notice in verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof." Verse 15, "And he made the staves of shittim wood." Verse 16, "And he made the vessels which were upon the table." Verse 17, "And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, made he the candlestick, his shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, his flowers were of the same." Verse 23, "And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it and all the vessels thereof." Verse 25, "And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit and the breadth of it a cubit. It was 4 square and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same." We go down to chapter number 38, and the Bible says he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. Verse 3, "And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, the shovels, the basins, the flesh hooks, the fire pans, and all the vessels thereof made he of brass. He made the laver of brass, according to verse number 8. And verse number 9, he made the court on the south side, southward. The hangings of the court were fine twine linen and 100 cubits. And we read all of these verses of Scripture, and we kind of quickly go through, and I hope you've been able to follow along and just to be encouraged to see how that they were engaged in the work. They were not just sitting on the sidelines. They were not just equipped and just kind of sitting there saying, well, I know how to do this, or I know I've been equipped to do this. No, they were engaged in the work. They were doing what God had equipped them to do. And we find that it's so imperative that they are using their talents, their gifts, their abilities that God gave them for the work of the Lord, for the glory of God. In verse number 22 of Exodus 38, the Bible says, "And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah," notice what it says, "made all that the Lord had commanded Moses." Isn't that precious? You might want to, I have underlined in my Bible that verse of Scripture. You may want to do that, especially that last phrase, maybe even circle the word "all," that the Bible says that he made all that the Lord commanded Moses. Remember in our text verse of Scripture where we started this evening in Exodus chapter number 31, that God told Moses that they may make all that I have commanded thee. God told Moses, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And here we find in verse 22 of chapter 38 that they made all that the Lord commanded Moses. What a blessing. We find that you can continue to read and you come to the end of chapter number 39. You notice in verse number 32, the Bible says this, "Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished." Finished. It was completed. "The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets. And the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot," verse 40, "the hangings of the court, his pillars, and his sockets, and the hanging of the court gate, his cords, and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of the service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them." It's an important passage of Scripture. I read the entirety of it so that you could see that each particular item is listed that they completed, that they constructed. And as you go back to Exodus chapter 30 through 35 and you read, Exodus chapter 25 through 30, and you read of all of the detailed instruction that God gave to Moses, you will find in summary here at the end of chapter 39 that each of those pieces of furniture and every element that would be required for the service of God in the tabernacle was constructed just as God had said. I noticed some things about Bezalel and Aholiab and these wise-hearted men. I noticed that they were willing to be engaged in the work. I do not read anywhere within these pages of Scripture where Moses had to pressure them to get engaged in the work of the Lord. In fact, I believe that these men, if I were to put it this way in our vocabulary for today maybe, that they felt that there was a distinct privilege to be involved and to be engaged in the work of the Lord, that they would be used of God to bring glory to God. I believe that, as the songwriter said, there is joy in serving Jesus, that for the length, the duration of the work, and however long it took for them to make these elements that are listed in all of the detail that had to go into it, I believe that if, again, we could use today's vocabulary, that there was joy in doing the work of God. They were engaged in the work. Chapter number 40 of the book of Exodus is a chapter in which it records for us the momentous occasion in which the tabernacle is reared up and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. I mean, it's an amazing portion of Scripture. We do not have time this evening to read the entirety of it, but I want you to read the last few verses with me. In Exodus chapter number 40, in verse number 33, the Bible says this, "And he," speaking of Moses, "reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." Then, verse 34, "a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." We made note that chapter number 36, as we began reading and skipping through these couple of chapters to read about the work that was being done and each piece of furniture that was being made, we made note that the very first word of chapter 36 is "then." After the instruction was given and after it was understood that they were equipped, "then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab," and they got engaged in the work. It's interesting to me that the very first word of chapter number 40 and verse number 34 is "then." After the tabernacle is reared up, after the work is finished, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. I wonder this evening, if there is no "then" in chapter number 36, there may not be a "then" in chapter number 40. What do I mean by that? Well, somebody had to get engaged in the work. Somebody had to do the work of the Lord. Somebody had to do what God had instructed them to do. And these individuals, they had been equipped for the work, but they got engaged in the work. They got involved in doing what God had commanded them to do. And God blessed, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I wonder this evening what it is that God might want to do in our midst. I wonder this evening what it is that God is able to do in our community and in our region, in our state, in our nation, in our world, if the people of God would get engaged in the work of God. We've been equipped, but oh, how we must get engaged to see God do what only God can do. It's an amazing truth of Scripture that God has chosen to use man. He's chosen to use people, individuals. We read of great Bible records, accounts that are given to us. And as we read through the pages of Scripture, We read of men and women who were equipped, who were yielded, and who God used for His glory. In fact, as we studied on Sunday mornings in 2020 through the book of Hebrews, we came to that great chapter, Hebrews chapter number 11. We often refer to it as the Hall of Faith chapter. And we see how that those individuals that are listed, what was accomplished through faith as they were equipped and got engaged in the work, and how they believed God and followed God and yielded themselves to God. We as New Testament believers, as we make application this evening, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Turn to the book of Ephesians, if you will. And as you look in the book of Ephesians and the second chapter, I want to make note to you with regard to the importance that we see here of yielding to God and understanding the fact that we have been equipped. The Bible says, we read this portion of Scripture actually in our message this morning, but I want to focus upon Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. Verses 8 and 9 talk to us about being born again, being saved by the blood of the Lamb, and the fact that we're saved not by our own works, but we're saved through faith by grace. And he says this in verse number 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." As I consider the truth of Ephesians 2 and verse number 10 in the context of the verse of Scripture, and we think about this truth of good works, and the many people today that have falsely taught some teaching with regard to work salvation, we find that there's no biblical foundation for such a teaching. It is a false teaching. You cannot be saved by good works. The Apostle Paul is not saying to these believers in Ephesus that they ought to be doing these good works so that they can be saved. No, he's already established for them that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Christ. You read in Ephesians chapter number 1, the Bible provides us, we won't take time to read all of it, but the Bible provides for us the plan of redemption, the price of redemption, the proof of redemption. If you look through the first 14 verses of Ephesians 1, you see that laid out quite plainly. No, Paul is not telling them to get engaged in good works so that they can be saved, nor is he telling them to be engaged in good works so that they can stay saved. Both of these teachings are false teachings that are very prevalent today. In fact, there are many denominations, there are many cults that would teach that you have to do good works in order to be saved or to stay saved. And I understand the way in which those false teachers and those false denominations and cults will use that teaching in a manner in which they can have a level of control upon their followers and cause their followers to be engaged in doing something. Because they tell them, if you don't do these things, you can't be saved. If you don't do these things, you can't stay saved. But the reality is that we cannot violate the clear teaching of Scripture in order so that we might get some people engaged in the work. It's not appropriate that we do that. No, rather, we understand the biblical teaching and the biblical truth is that when we understand who Christ is and what He's done for us, and how He saved our souls and changed our eternal destination, that we would understand that we are His workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we would simply say, I desire to do good works, not so that I can get saved or stay saved, but because I am saved. Because I get to work for the Lord. I often hear people say something like this, why do we have to do this? Perhaps some have even said, why do I have to go to church? I've heard that. I would submit to those individuals, you get to go to church. You get to serve God. What a privilege. What an opportunity. Turn over, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, we'll conclude with this portion of Scripture this evening. We understand that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we look at these two verses of Scripture in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, we find great truth that is given to us. Number one, he says, as every man hath received the gift. Those that have been saved, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God has equipped you. He's given you a spiritual gift. We can read of that over in 1 Corinthians. You do not need to turn there. But in chapters 13 and 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians, you see much information given. Really, in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians, you see many truths that are given to us with regard to spiritual gifts. And the Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 12, I'll just read a few verses here. In verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That's a great truth in verse number 7, that the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Again, we found in chapter 4 of 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift. But the Bible says to profit withal, that it is that God might be glorified. It says here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. In verse 11 it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. And we understand that as we read these chapters in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that it's very clear the teaching of spiritual gifts. We see it in the book of Romans as well. But here, as we find, the Bible says, every man hath received the gift. If you are born again, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been given a spiritual gift. If you say, I have no idea what my spiritual gift is, in fact, I never even knew there were spiritual gifts, please contact me. I would love to be able to sit down and have a conversation with you, provide you with some information that will help you discover what your spiritual gift is. And it is important that we acknowledge that we have been gifted, that we've been given this spiritual gift, but it's imperative that we discover what that spiritual gift is. And as we discover what that spiritual gift is, then we can properly develop our spiritual gift so that we can use it in the work of the Lord. We find that it says that every man hath received the gift. Notice, even so minister the same one to another. Notice this phrase at the end of verse number 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I think in the beginning of the message I ascribed that statement to Paul, and it's Peter actually that penned those words, humanly speaking. But you think about the importance of being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. The fact that I have been equipped by God, that God's grace has been bestowed upon me, His serving grace is what is in view here in this passage of Scripture. It's not dealing with His saving grace. We understand, for by grace are you saved through faith. Here He's speaking about that serving grace, that we have been given the grace of God. We've been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we know that a steward is one that was responsible for the affairs of a home, of a and that man, that individual that would be a steward, they had to be faithful. And the Bible says that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And here Peter says that we want to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That we recognize, that we acknowledge that God has gifted, He has equipped me for the work of the ministry, for the work of God. Bezalel, Aholiab, these wise-hearted men, they had been equipped, but not for themselves, for the work, to get engaged, to use it for the glory of God. In the next couple of statements in verse number 11, he uses a couple of aspects of these gifts that individuals would receive. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And here's the amazing truth that we must be mindful of this evening, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As New Testament believers, recognize that we have been equipped for the work of the Lord. As we then engage ourselves in the work of the Lord, and we begin to use that spiritual gift in the church of God for the glory of God. It's not so that any one of us could receive some level of recognition, applause, or position. No, it's so that God would be glorified. Because we recognize that it's God that's given us the gift. And if it's God that's given us the gift, if it's God that's given us the ability, it is not for us to glory in it. It's for us to say, God enabled me. He equipped me. Bezalel, Aholiab, those wise-hearted men, they could not take credit for what they did, for they had been specifically equipped by God. God said to Moses, I've called them. I've equipped them. Moses then tells the congregation of the children of Israel, he says, God has called and equipped these individuals for this work. This evening, as New Testament believers, we are mindful of our place in the work of God. We mentioned Ephesians 2 in verse number 10. In chapter 4 in verses 11 and 12, the Bible says this, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, our God has a plan. And in His plan, He has chosen to use His people, His children. And He has said, I have a work for you to do, and I'm going to equip you for the ministry, for the work. The equipping that we see for the children of God today, for New Testament believers, is there in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift. The engaging is even so minister. Let us all do this thing. And we understand that the result is that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In 2021, are you going to be engaged in the work? I understand that things are different in this new age of pandemic and all that's going on and the differences that we face. But I would submit to you that God still has a plan. God has still equipped us. God still has a purpose for that equipping. We must get engaged in the work of God. I wonder this evening, as we turn the calendar into a brand new year, something's always interesting about that. It gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the past year and what all took place, but more importantly, it gives us the opportunity to look forward to a new year. We do not presume upon the Lord that we will live all the days of this particular year. In fact, we know that our life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We understand that biblical truth. And with understanding the biblical truth of the brevity of life and also the truth of the imminent return of Christ, I would submit to you this evening that now is the time to get engaged in the work. We must not have an attitude of, I'll serve God later. I'll serve God at a more convenient season. I'll serve God when things slow down in my life because it's busy. I'll slow down when you fill in the blank. We're very good as human beings of offering various excuses as to why we would not be engaged in the work of God. But I want to encourage you this evening to let God have His way, to understand that you have been equipped, and how imperative it is that you get engaged. Oh, that God would help us. Can you imagine if every child of God in every church across America, shall I say across the globe, got engaged in the work of the Lord, in the manner in which they've been equipped? Can you imagine what God could do in this world? Can you imagine what God could do in our congregation if every single individual would say, I'm not content being a spectator. I want to be a participator. I want to be a participant. I want to get engaged in the work. I don't know what area of service, I don't know how I can get engaged or where I can get engaged, but I want to get engaged. It's always encouraging to me as a pastor when someone comes to my office or sends me an email or calls me on the phone and says, is there something I can do for God? Is there something I can do at church? I want to get involved. Oh, that's encouraging. Sometimes it's challenging, but it's encouraging. And I trust this evening that as we look at this Old Testament example and we rejoice in what took place in the tabernacle, that we must be mindful of the fact that there were some individuals that were equipped, but they got engaged. They got involved in the work. And as New Testament believers, we've been equipped. Oh, that God would help us to get engaged. Let us get engaged in the work of the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. What a blessing. What a joy. We echo the words of the songwriter when he said, there is joy in serving Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to determine to use our spiritual gifts for your honor, for your glory. Help us, Lord. I pray that you'd move as only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.